Time for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show. Host Dana Rodriguez tonight with The Chronicles' Joshua Cosman, music critic, and author Jerry Nachman.
Thank you very much, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Oh, what?
It's okay.
Did I blast you?
A little bit.
Sorry. Welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you're having a lovely weekend, and happy Easter, everybody. So please settle back and give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we're welcoming your participation. That's very, very important. So if you're done hunting for Easter eggs, give us a little of your time tonight. We will be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So all you have to do is call area code 415-841-4134. That is 415-841-4134, or you can call toll-free 866-798-8255, that is 866-798-8255. And we're going to start with a round of introductions. I just want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER, all strung together, at yahoo.com. That's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world, simply through the use of a phone, computer, whatever, at kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, it should be available reasonably soon after our show tonight at kalw.org. Okay, all that being said, I will dispense with the first intro, and here's the first. Jerry Nachman observes March Madness by saluting these great players: Augie March, Joe March, Hal March, the March of the Valkyries, and the March Hare.
Thank you, Dana. Well, you can't tell through the radio, but Joshua Cosman has a tiny songbird perched on his mic tonight, just like Bernie Sanders.
It's true. And Easter is the closest our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, gets to hip-hop, but he likes to do the rapping at Christmas.
Uh-huh. So, that is us, and we'll begin. Very good. I should have thought of that to put at the end. Oh, well. And we'll begin the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Well, I'll lead off with the three-part Easter question. One is, first part, what is the most popular Easter candy?
Peeps.
Peeps, that's correct. Yeah, okay.
What are they?
Peeps.
What are they? I honestly do not know.
Oh,
they're like marshmallows.
Marshmallows. That's what they are.
No, I mean,
I've seen them, but I've never eaten them.
Yeah, marshmallow chicks.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, what is the most popular jelly bean flavor?
At Easter.
Yeah. Well, maybe
or in
I don't know. I don't know, just at Easter, maybe ever. I don't know, maybe always.
I'll say cherry.
That's right. Correct.
Well, that's my favorite.
And what is a female rabbit called?
A Jenny.
That's a mule.
Is that right? No.
A mule.
Oh, okay.
Well, it might be more than one species.
Well, it is actually, that's a good point, because this is actually the name of another species.
Okay.
It's a doe, isn't it?
It is a doe.
Ah, very good.
I knew that would give it away.
I was there.
Okay.
Good job. All right. Is that all your Easter questions?
I've got one more, but I have to recuse you guys. So you want
me
to read it anyway?
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Well, in the famous song Easter Parade, which we always sign off with here every
we will tonight.
Today, there's a reference to rotogravure. Now, I know you guys know what it is, and people of our vintage, but what is a rotogravure? I mean, I'm asking the audience.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Why don't you just read that once more?
Well, in the song Easter Parade, there's a reference to the rotogravure, in the song lyric, and I want to know what a rotogravure is or was.
That's right.
Was, and really.
And the people of Josh and myself's vintage.
Yeah, I was going to say.
This
is a challenge for the digital digital age listeners. Yeah.
Yeah. And all right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, this is Linda Nelsarito.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. Well, I like your questions better than I do mine, but...
Thank you.
I'm stuck on this wonderful topic of brokered conventions that we can't seem to get away from.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to be all downhill for your program from here on. So I apologize for that.
I'm hoping for one. I hope it's the greatest
thing. Yeah, that's always more fun.
I hope it's the greatest thing that can happen to American politics.
Okay. So my question is, which party... A brokered convention means that the candidate is not nominated on the first ballot. So a brokered convention is one that has more than one ballot.
Mm-hmm.
So what year and how many ballots for the Democrats was their record, the highest number of ballots?
I think one was 123 ballots.
One was over 100, and that was 1924.
And,
okay.
and John Davis was the nominee, right?
John W. Davis.
Yeah. 123, I believe. Yeah.
103.
103.
Okay.
Enough.
Okay, can you give me the second highest from the Democrats?
I cannot.
Was it in the 20th century or the 19th century?
Yeah, I'm talking only the 20th.
Only the 20th century.
I don't deal with the 19th.
Before
I was born.
Before you were born?
Yeah.
You have to give me like a decade or something to work with here.
I couldn't do that.
Because that's a lot. Well, let's see, the Democrats.
It was in the early part, let's say that.
Yeah, there's too much to choose from here.
Did the victor, is he well known?
Is it like...
The victor is well known.
Is it like Al Smith, 1928, or...
No.
Or Cox, 1920?
Okay. Cox was number three.
Okay.
And that was 44 ballots.
All right.
So what we need is the number two.
And then... huh, 44. Is it possibly... 1904?
No.
Or Woodrow Wilson in 1912?
1912, right. Woodrow Wilson.
Okay.
And that was 44 ballots.
All right.
So, okay, now let's do the same thing for the Republicans.
Well, the last Republican convention that went over the first ballot was 1976, I think.
Mm-hmm.
From what I was looking at, it didn't. I think there was a bunch of stuff going on.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, according to my information... The last brokered convention of any kind, either party, is 1952.
Okay. That was, right, Eisenhower and Taft. Was that Eisenhower? Are you that
no,
what you're talking about?
No, that was actually the
Stevenson
Democratic.
And, okay.
Yeah.
The last Republican convention. Well, I know the famous one is Wilkie.
Yes. Okay.
In 1940.
Right. Very good. Can you tell me how many ballots?
Who seems I've been reading a lot about Wilkie lately, just because I was curious about. He seems a very admirable, interesting guy.
Uh-huh.
Although I would have preferred Roosevelt and who won, but
let's. You know, actually, I got that wrong. I'm sorry. He was number two.
Number two. Okay.
Yeah. So tell me the number one.
Wallace. John Wallace. John Wallace.
No, is it maybe Roosevelt Taft in 1912?
No, we're talking Republicans.
Well, that's Roosevelt Taft, 1912.
Oh, okay. No, that's not it.
No, you better fill me in because I'd just be guessing.
The highest number of ballots in the 20th century among the Republicans was Warren G. Harding.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And
that's true. He was a dark horse.
Yeah, and there were 10 ballots. And then Wilkie was number two. And the third one... is closer to our time a bit. Any guess on that?
Republicans? No. Uh-uh.
Okay, well, that was Thomas Dewey.
Okay.
And it was only three ballots, so,
all right.
You know, nothing to compare with what the Democrats said.
All right.
Anyway, so we have lots of interesting things to look forward to.
I hope so.
Right? Okay.
All right. Thanks, Linda.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. And Josh, why don't you go ahead?
All right. This is actually a repeat. This is a question I pulled on you a few years ago, but I liked it, and the answer has changed a little bit since then, so I'm going to pull it out again. There have been 13 Best Picture winners Best Picture winners that have anything in their titles other than letters and spaces. So how many can you name?
Say it again.
Titles of movies.
Yeah.
That have anything in them other than letters and spaces. So like The Hurt Locker is just letters and spaces. Most of them are just letters and spaces, but there are 13 that have something else in the title.
Some other kind of punctuation?
Something else.
Like a comma.
For example.
Okay.
Oh, well, there's probably several of those.
There are 13. Oliver is one. Because it's
exclamation
points.
Well, all the exclamation points. We had that question a little
bit. Did we? Yeah.
That's
probably why I remember.
I asked that. Yeah. Oklahoma.
Oklahoma did not win for Best Picture.
Oh, didn't win. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, how many are there?
There are 13. Now there's 12 because you knocked off Oliver. I'm giving you guys some. I'm leaving some for the listeners.
Okay.
Because I'm bountiful that way.
Yeah. How far back does it go?
All the way, baby.
All the way?
Well, except not Wings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Hmm.
Okay. Anything other than letters or spaces?
There's some of the quote marks, I would think. Some might have quote marks.
It happened one night? No.
No.
I'm trying to think of even a comma here.
No.
Okay, I have to work on that.
All right, think about it.
All right. Just give the one.
Repeat
one
the question again.
Right.
There have been 13 Best Picture winners, winning movies, that have titles which include anything other than letters and spaces. That includes punctuation, other kinds of things as well. Dana got Oliver with his exclamation point. That's one, but there are 12 more.
Right.
Yeah, we got to come up with some more.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
All right.
You can do it.
We will.
And
I'll carry the show while you guys think about it.
Yeah, you do that. You're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We would love to hear from you. The number to call is area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer, 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, Reunion City.
Hello.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
Two questions.
Right.
First one is, in what year did South Africa finally get television?
In what year did South Africa finally get television?
Yeah.
Huh.
Not color television, though.
Maybe not. colored television. So I guess it would have been, your question implies, to me anyway, that they got it later than almost anybody else, or at least in the industrialized world. So how about 1970?
You're close.
Wow.
Well, close enough or not close enough?
Try 69.
All right, 69.
No.
How about 71?
It was that. Yeah, you're close.
All right. 72, 73?
Nope. Close.
74, 75?
Close.
All right. Go give us the answer, Greg. Yeah.
You know what it is?
Well, I mean, I'd just be guessing years.
It was 1976.
Okay. All right. Huh. Wow.
And here's my second question for Josh.
Uh-huh.
Film composer Daniele Amfiteatro was the associate conductor under Dmitri Mitropoulos for what orchestra?
The conductor was what? I'm sorry?
Film composer Daniele Amfiteatro, he was an associate conductor under Dmitri Mitropoulos for what orchestra?
Oh, New York Philharmonic?
No.
It's true. He was. Yeah, you're right.
I don't know.
The first composer you mentioned he was like a studio orchestra composer.
Yeah, but he also did some conducting.
He also did some conducting, yeah. Well, can you think of another orchestra in Metropolis?
No, that's what I know about Metropolis.
Okay, Minnesota, I'll tell you that.
Oh, well, that's the Minnesota Orchestra, isn't
well,
it?
No, not a Minnesota Orchestra.
It's the Minneapolis
Symphony?
Minneapolis
Symphony. Yeah, you're on the right, yep. Give yourself a bell. Well, it's the Minneapolis Symphony Orchestra.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. Gareth.
Yeah. Josh, I've got a guess on your movie title.
Go ahead.
I don't know if this won the Oscar, but it has a comma and a question mark. They shoot horses, don't they?
did not win. Gig Young won, remember, Best Supporting Actor,
all
but
right.
it didn't win Best Picture.
Okay. Let's see here. What is the largest company in the U.S. that names itself after a character or characters from the book Gulliver's Travels?
Yahoo.
Yeah. Okay.
Very good.
The Yahoos. Yeah,
very good.
That's good.
All right. What were the Yahoos?
The Yahoos were, I've never read the book, but they're the sort of lumpen buffoons who live with the Wynnums. Right.
Repulsive in appearance, and barely human.
The Donald Trump voters, basically, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to help. Second, what present-day actor has been in the list of the top 10 box office stars each year for the most years, 21? What present-day actor has been in the list of the top 10 box office stars for 21 years?
Is he a list star?
Yeah.
Or character?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say so.
How about Clint Eastwood?
You're right.
Really?
Oh, you're right, yeah.
21?
21 years. Not 21 years straight, but over his career, 21 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say,
Very
Tom
good.
Hanks. Okay.
Excellent. Okay. One answer on this, Josh.
Okay.
Give me, there are six world capitals that actually have the word city in their name. What six world capitals actually have the word city in their name? All right, Josh.
I'm just trying to make the list. Guatemala City.
That's correct. That's one. There you go. There are six world capitals that actually have the word city in their name. Josh got Guatemala City, so Jerry, I'll let you reserve your guess for when you come up.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This is Laurie in San Francisco.
Hi, Laurie.
Hi, I wanted to guess on the Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
Apollo 13.
It did not, good guess, but it did not win Best Picture.
Okay, good. And then I have a bunch of one-word ones. Uh-huh. Like, I was wondering if Crash.
No.
Okay,
good.
I'm going to give up on that.
Okay.
All right. And then I have a question.
Yes.
Multi-part questions.
Oh, good.
Like other people. Okay. So, this is timely because, thank goodness, just in time for Easter, Scalia went to Jesus. there's a great country song that says... everyone wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to die.
Yeah.
That's by Loretta Lynn. Anyway, bye-bye. Okay, so I wanted to ask you a question about some of the Supreme Court justices, too, in particular.
Okay.
You may or may not know this. Justice Ginsburg was number one at Columbia when she graduated. She'd been at Harvard, but she had a baby and transferred when her husband finished Harvard. And Justice Sandra Day O'Connor was number two at Stanford. She was in Rehnquist's class. So I wanted to ask you, what law firms did they work for when they graduated?
Rehnquist and O'Connor dated, I think.
I'm sorry?
I think they dated, Rehnquist and O'Connor.
Really?
I don't know how long.
Well, I'm not interested in that because
I know, but I am.
Coming near Rehnquist with you.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think Ginsburg was able to find a job.
Oh, and why was that?
And I think, because she was a woman, and I neither was O'Connor. Then I think one of them worked as a secretary in a law firm, basically.
Okay. They were both hired as secretaries.
Yeah.
In this land of no sexism, and we want the brightest and the best.
Not then.
They didn't get
not
jobs.
Then.
And then of the two, of the two, which one recently came out and said that the Republicans should quit selectively interpreting the Constitution and let the nomination go ahead?
O'Connor.
That sounds like O'Connor. Yeah.
O'Connor. And that's it.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks.
Good work. Sad world. I was going to ask you who the first woman president was, but of course we can't. Don't have an answer. Bye.
Bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Happy Easter, everybody. And if you'd like to join us here, the number is area code 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134, or toll-free 866-798-8255. Our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman from the San Francisco Chronicle, music classical music critic Joshua Cosman, who I think writes more than any other reporter on that paper.
David Weekend wins that
David
title.
Weekend writes.
You think so? Yeah. I don't know.
The most column inches, anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And, of course, you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. Is this mic working? Is that mic working okay? Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hey, Thomas.
So basically, I'm going to guess at the actor, but I'm sure I'm wrong. Robert De Niro?
Oh.
For 21 movies?
Or 21 no, movies? You know, Josh got that, and it's Clint Eastwood.
Oh, I heard him say Clint Eastwood, but then the refrigerator went on.
You must have
happens.
A very loud refrigerator.
Yeah, it's really loud.
All right.
Okay, so I think I have maybe six of the Oscar movies, but do you want me to only give a certain number?
No, give as many as you got.
Okay. Whatever you got, man.
Yeah.
Kramer versus Kramer.
Correct.
Oh, very good.
Mrs. Miniver.
Yes.
Very you good. Can't take it with you.
Nice.
Gentleman's Agreement.
Right.
I can't read my writing. Godfather
how can't
Part
take
2.
It with you,
wait, hold on, Thomas. Jerry's, okay, okay. Jerry's you can't has an apostrophe in it.
Oh, okay.
Just like Gentleman's Agreement.
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead. One, you had another one?
You can't take
Godfather
it
Part 2.
All right.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't put that on my list. Does it have a colon? Is
it
that?
Has a... I thought it had a...
I don't think it has anything.
It certainly has... The two is Roman numerals, so that doesn't count. But I don't know. You might be right. It might have a colon, and I didn't think of that.
I think it's got a colon.
Okay. Well, we'll give you that one, too.
But I'm not really...
But sure. I'm going to check it after we go.
Okay, you should do that.
All right.
And then my last one is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Correct.
Good job.
Well done.
Well, six bells. I'll count them. You don't have to do them all. Home run.
Six bells.
Happy Easter to you all.
Thanks, Thomas.
Bye.
Okay, Dana, for your city, capital is Mexico City.
That's correct. Very good.
Okay.
And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, what state has the highest percentage of people over 25 with BA degrees, and which state has the lowest? You got to get two for a bell.
Gave us something like this once before.
And you only get one guess each.
Exposed
each,
all our
each end.
Supercilious.
So just college graduates in general, sort of.
BA things. With BA degrees,
all
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. At least BA degrees,
all right.
Yeah.
At least BA. Did you say what city or what state?
State,
okay. I'll make two quick. I'll give you two guesses and see if either one is right. Minnesota or Washington?
No and no.
Okay.
For the highest. I think the lowest is something like Wyoming.
No? Might be something like it, but that's
not
it.
No. All right, okay.
This is all per capita, right?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
I'll say the lowest is West Virginia.
You only get one guess.
Oh, I don't get one guess for the lowest and the highest?
And the highest, that's what all I right. said. Yeah.
I'll say the lowest is West Virginia.
You're right.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. They get the worst
19%.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So the highest then. I haven't
taken
a guess on the highest. And you said it wasn't Washington and it wasn't Minnesota.
Right.
So it's going to be... Yeah, I got nothing.
There you go. The reason is interesting, apparently, to according to the friend who sent me the question. It isn't that there are necessarily more colleges in the state. It's that there are more jobs that require college educations.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that makes you think a little right. differently, maybe.
Yeah.
Read it just once more, if you would, Jerry.
What state has the highest percentage of people over 25 with at least a BA degree?
Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good.
So, for last week, the metal element that melts in your hand is gallium.
Once more, Ed, I'm sorry.
There is an element that's also a metal, like, you know, it looks like silver or aluminum.
Right.
If you hold it in your hand, it melts.
It's not mercury, I suppose.
No, I mentioned, no, mercury is liquid all over.
I guess that, you know.
Yeah, gallium.
Didn't you give us
gallium?
The
he says gallium.
I didn't give it to you. Gallium is. Okay. Gallium is a strange element. Okay, what state in the United States have 3 times as many cows as people?
I think there's probably more than one state. Is that? Yeah. How about Montana?
You're right. Very good.
All right.
Right one. Very, very, very good. Okay, in 1950, only 5 babies in the U.S. were born to unwed parents.
Five?
Only 5%.
5%.
Oh, okay. That's
how many in 2014?
Oh, well.
50%.
Yeah.
No. How about 25%?
Higher.
32%.
I'll give you the answer because I like other caller to come on, which is 40%, believe it or not.
I believe it, sure. Let our few people getting married.
One last thing in the same statistics. This country have 1/3 of all prisoners in the whole on Earth. 1/3. Unbelievable.
Mm.
Which country?
The United States.
1/3. United States.
Yep.
Just unbelievable.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ed.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. And Josh, it's your turn.
Okay. I have a question here that I stole from the great Thorsten Integrity at the website Learned League. So if any listeners are Learned League players, Sparky, they need to recuse themselves. But I'll ask you guys, what is the only word in modern English that ends with the letters M-T?
M-T?
M-T, like Michael Tilson.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What is the only common word in modern English that ends with the letters M-T?
Good question. Very good question.
I think I know this, but I have to work on it for a minute. Think about this.
Okay.
It's a fairly common word, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Okay. Let me work on that.
Exempt.
No, that has a P in it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Exempted. Yeah, it's a common word. It's a common word.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. All right. I've seen it, and I've seen this question.
Yep.
So, okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi.
There was a question about rotogravure.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was an early method of reproducing a drawing or a photograph, drawing from a photograph, in offset printing before the invention of halftone.
Okay, but how does it, that's correct, but what meaning does it have in the song Easter Parade?
That I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
You got the hard part.
Well, you got the hard part, but you didn't get the really sexy part.
Don't know the song well enough.
Okay, all right.
That's where they used to feature the pretty girls in the
rotogravure. That's the answer
section.
You just gave away. Yeah,
oh, sorry.
That's correct. Right. It was a kind of a Sunday supplement.
Yeah,
it might have been in color or
the early version of Page Six.
Or
not Page Six.
No. It was
no Page Six.
No. Not cheap. It was a very elegant section. Maybe a pull-out section with maybe tinted or sometimes, I don't know if they had color then, probably not.
No.
And they would usually depict society, socialites and fancy dress balls and so.
Lillian Russell.
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
For best pictures, how about Around the World in 80 Days?
That is correct.
Oh, very
well
good.
Done.
Very good.
And Schindler's List?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. For states with BA degrees, how about Connecticut?
Connecticut, Jerry, for a BA degree?
No.
All right. And I have a question.
Yes.
You probably know where New England is.
I think so.
I've been there.
But where is New Britain?
Connecticut.
Well, there's New Britain in Connecticut. Yeah.
No. This is a
region?
A region, yes.
Isn't that part of Canada? Is that part of Canada? By
no.
Chance? It's not. Okay.
New Britain.
Wait a minute. Wait. It's in the South Pacific.
Yes.
Is it called that anymore? It's not, is it?
I don't believe so, no.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
New Britain. It's a group of islands in the South Pacific, but am I correct?
Close enough, yeah. It's to the east of New Guinea and North of Australia.
Right, okay.
Very good.
But what's it called now? Do
you
know?
No, I'm reading history of World War II, and I'm not sure.
Okay, all right, just curious.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys. Good night.
Bye-bye. All right, I'm going to give you a list of presidential campaign slogans through the years and tell me who the candidate was and the year. So here we go. One guess each.
How many do you got?
I have seven.
Okay.
All right. This time, vote like your whole world depended on it. This time, vote like your whole world depended on it. Number two, a time for greatness.
I mean, these are all applied to almost any campaign.
Yeah, but they're very specific.
He's going to ask us about I Like Ike, and then we're going
to No. They're very specific to certain campaigns. I'm sorry. Number one, this time, vote like your whole world depended on it. Number two, a time for greatness. Number three, defeat the New Deal and reckless spending. Number four, let well enough alone, which I like a lot.
Yeah, I like that one.
Let well enough alone, but this is my favorite. Vote as you shot.
Wow. As you shot?
Yes, vote as you shot.
What the hell does that mean?
Number five is vote as you shot. Well, if you know the answer to it, then it makes perfect sense.
That's great.
Number six, vote yourself a farm. And number seven, 54, 40, or fight.
Oh, that's
that's famous. That's
it is
the most famous,
but who is it? Is it Zachary Taylor, I want to say.
No. So once more, these are presidential campaign slogans through the years. Tell me the candidate, and they're all, most of them are winning candidates, not all of them.
Not number three, surely.
No. So again, tell me the candidate and the year. Number one, this time vote like your whole world depended on it. Number two, a time for greatness. Number three, defeat the New Deal and reckless spending. Number four, let well enough alone. Number five, vote as you shot. Number six, vote yourself a farm. And number seven, 54, 40, or fight. And I will say, let well enough alone is somebody who is running for re-election, obviously. So there you go.
Yeah, I've heard 54, 40, or fight, but obviously I can't place it. So defeat the New Deal is, I don't know, Wilkie?
Nope. Defeat the New Deal and reckless spending, that's not Wilkie, no.
Yeah, the only ones we learned in school were 54, 40, or fight and Tippecanoe and Tyler, too.
Oh, that's the one.
Yeah, you were thinking of that.
I certainly was, yeah.
So think if you can come up with any of those. I'll just read them once more. Number one, this time, vote like your whole world depended on it. Number two, a time for greatness. Number three, defeat the New Deal and reckless spending. Number four, let well enough alone. Number five, vote as you shot. Number six, vote yourself a farm. And number seven, 54, 40, or fight. Okay. The number to join us is area code 415-841-4134 and toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, is it me?
It is you.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, we're calling from Bellefonte, Pennsylvania.
Hi.
How about Panama City?
Panama City, very good.
And Vatican City?
Vatican City, excellent.
Of course, yeah.
Luxembourg City?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, yeah, officially called Luxembourg
really?
City.
Really? Yeah, that's why I couldn't get it. Okay.
And movie title, Slaughterhouse 5?
Did not win for Best Picture.
Oh, good. We got
I think 5 was spelled out, too.
Yeah, but there's a hyphen. So
oh, there is. Oh,
it would have been right if it had won the Best Picture.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you.
Oh, thanks for calling.
So Luxembourg is called Luxembourg City?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I never seen that on a map.
Hmm.
I mean, officially, maybe, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is this me?
It is you.
Hi, this is Arun from Los Gatos. Hi. I have a couple of guesses and a couple of questions.
Okay.
So 54, 40, or fight was folk.
Polk, yes. Excellent.
And
Do you know the year by any chance?
What's that?
Do you know the year by any chance?
1840-something.
Ah, well, that's close enough. 1844, very good.
Okay, I know this because I live in the South Bay, and Hewlett-Packard, when they were trying to decide the price for the first product that they sold, they didn't know how to price the product, and they decided to price it $54.40 after the slogan. Yeah,
that's cute.
This time votes like your whole world depends on it. Is it LBJ by any chance?
It is not LBJ. It's not Goldwater or LBJ.
Oh, okay. And time for greatness, JFK.
It is, yes. Very good. Okay. Kennedy, 1960.
Very good.
Perfect. Okay. So, my question. I'll read you an abstract from a New Yorker article dated December 19th, 1942. And I'll put a blank in the abstract, and the blank is the last name of a person. You have to guess the last name of the person.
Okay.
Is that clear?
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, this is the abstract. 48 years ago, Lemuel Blanc came into the dining room of the old Waldorf for a late breakfast. He had a hangover and ordered buttered toast, crisp bacon, two poached eggs, and a hooker of hollandaise sauce, and then and there put together the dish that has ever since borne his name. What is Blanc?
What was the last phrase?
The dish that has borne his name.
Give us the ingredients once more, if you would.
Buttered toast. Crisp bacon. Right. Two poached eggs and a hooker of hollandaise sauce.
What must be eggs Benedict?
That's right, Lemuel Benedict.
Nice.
Oh yeah, sure.
The next question is a phrase. So the title of this Crimean War painting by Robert Gibb, and the painting was commissioned in 1881. Is derived from the uniform of the Highlanders, the Highland Scottish Regiment.
Right.
So this has become an English language phrase for any minimally spread military unit holding firm against attack. So let me repeat that question. The title of the Crimea War painting has become an English language figure of speech for any minimally spread military unit holding firm against attack. What is the title or the phrase?
Hmm.
If you need a hint, let me know.
I do.
All right, give us a hint.
The hint is that a Hollywood movie, which was released in 1998, also has the same title.
Ooh.
Think of the color of the Highland Regiment's uniform.
Right. Well, it's black. Black and... Not black and tan, is it?
No.
They wore black uniforms, or is it red? Is it the Scottish? Is it a plaid?
Don't know.
Gosh, we don't know. I'm sorry.
The Thin Red Line.
Oh, all right.
Oh,
of course.
Very nice.
All right. Good question. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye bye. And we need to repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Jerry, what do you have?
Okay, what state has the highest percentage of people over 25 with at least a BA degree? We have the lowest, which is West Virginia. The state has 40% of its citizens have a BA degree or higher.
Okay.
And that's all right now. Oh, yeah, that's all right now.
All right, Josh?
I'm looking for Best Picture winners whose titles have anything in them other than letters and spaces.
You should tell them ones you have.
I will. Okay. I was going to get there.
All right.
Just chill.
Okay.
The ones that have gotten so far are You Can't Take It With You with an apostrophe, Mrs. Miniver, Gentleman's Agreement, Around the World in 80 Days, Oliver, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Godfather, Part 2, Kramer versus Kramer, and Schindler's List. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more to go. And I'm also looking for the only common English word that ends with the letters M-T. That's Michael Tilson, M-T. That word, and you can also put some prefixes on it, but the basic word is just the single word.
I know this.
What do you mean you can put prefixes on it?
Well, it's not the only word in English that ends with that letter. If you add a prefix, it still ends with...
It just doesn't have a hyphen.
No.
Okay.
And I have a list of presidential campaign slogans through the years. So tell me the president or candidate that used this slogan and hopefully the year. The ones we have left are, "This time, vote like your whole world depended on it." "Defeat the New Deal and reckless spending." "Let well enough alone." "Vote as you shot." And "Vote yourself a farm." What candidates used those campaign slogans and what were the years? And whose turn is it here?
You're looking also
Jerry's,
for
okay.
You're looking also for one more world capital that has
I'm
world
sorry,
city
you're,
in
you're
it.
Absolutely
I'm
right.
Going to kill it. It's Kuwait City.
Okay. Okay. Good job. All right. We have all of those now. And Jerry, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, this is one I have to recuse you from, Dana.
Oh, all right.
Gene Kelly had an equally gifted tap dancing brother named Fred. They ran a dance studio in Pittsburgh before Gene went on stage. The Kelly brothers appeared in only one movie number together. What was the musical?
All right. Let me answer it at the end of the show.
Okay.
I couldn't even begin to guess.
No, I know you couldn't. That's
nope.
Right.
Nope.
Because it was on the other night. That's where
I watched it. One of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Oh, it's not one of the worst movies
I've ever seen. It's terrible.
It's weird.
Oh,
it's,
well...
Boys, boys.
Well, it's no, but it's about, it alleges to be the story of Sigmund Romberg,
right.
And Jose Ferrer is the star, and he sings and dances. Sigmund Romberg ever sing and dance?
I don't know.
And I don't
well,
think
maybe
they ever
it's
mentioned,
not a documentary,
I don't think
Jerry.
They ever, I don't think he ever mentioned Oscar Hammerstein or any of his other lyricist collaborators.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's bad in about 20 different ways.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Justin in San Francisco.
Hi.
Hi, I was wondering, first I have two responses and a question.
All right, two responses? Wait a minute, I don't know about that. What? Okay, go ahead.
I have a coupon for response.
Okay, go ahead.
So did anyone give Belize City for the world capital?
No.
No, because the capital of Belize is...
Belmopan.
Belmopan, right.
Okay.
But there is a Belize City.
Is there?
Yes, there is.
No,
oh,
it's not the capital.
It's not the capital.
Not the capital.
Yeah.
And, the campaign slogan?
Yes.
For defeat the New Deal and reckless spending?
Right.
That was Alfred Landon in 1930.
Very good. Very good. Landon, 1936. Excellent.
And a question.
Yes.
To the best of my knowledge, who is the only physician to win... an Academy Award for acting.
Physician?
Oh, Dr. Hang S. Noor.
Yeah.
Who?
Dr. Hang S. Noor for
The Killing Fields.
The Killing Fields, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Give yourself a bell. There you go.
Thank you.
Okay, great show, everyone. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Can you, Josh, can you give us the number of letters in that word with MT? Maybe in a few minutes.
As we get closer,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
Someone's listening who knows it.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter from Bellevue, Washington.
Hi, Peter.
For the states with the BA degrees is Washington State.
You know, I guessed that, Peter, when Jerry I first asked the question because I thought I know Washington is a very well-educated state.
That's
but
not
I was
it.
Wrong.
How about Connecticut?
Nope.
Nope.
All right. And vote the way you shot is that Alexander Hamilton.
It is. No, but I like your sense of humor.
All right. Love the show. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And Josh, it's your turn.
All right. Well, let's see. What are the three chemical elements that are named after world capital cities, as long as we're on the world capitals? I just really was one of my short.
He's going to call back now.
Well, Berkelium.
Berkeley's
not a
world capital.
A world capital.
It's. It feels
he
like
thinks
it's
it is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's only three.
There's one after London, isn't there? No.
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 Paris.
No.
What are your answers, Dana? I'm looking for chemical elements. You don't have to get them all. You just have to get one,
right,
one
right,
at a
I'm
time.
I'm thinking.
I like that about you.
Okay. I'll say Paris.
I asked you for the chemical elements.
Oh, the chemical.
Not the cities.
Oh.
Well, there are three chemical elements named after world capital cities. I'll tell you all these capitals
are they named
Europe.
After the current names of the world capital cities, or are they Latinized? Are they named after an older Latin name?
The latter.
Uh-huh.
In some cases.
Okay.
Let's put it this way. None of them are just straight in there like Berkeley and Berkelium.
No, they're not like that. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
They're all translated in some way or other.
All right. And let's go to a call.
Hi. This is Jeff from San Francisco. I think that Voters If the Whole World Depended on It was LBJ in 64.
It was not LBJ. Sorry.
Oh.
Is that it? No? Anything else? No? Okay, sorry. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Tara from Burlingame.
Hi.
Hi, I'd like to make two guesses. The highest population of bachelor degree is Oregon?
No.
Okay. And the slogan for Vote As You Shot was Theodore Roosevelt.
It's not Theodore Roosevelt. But that's a good guess too. But no, not that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So just a general question. Vote As You Shot, is this an appeal to Civil War vets?
Probably
it's
so,
possible.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have anything further to go with that. I just seemed like it was just...
Yeah,
it's
quite conceivable.
Okay.
That's the case.
All right.
All right. Josh, sort of the question aimed toward you a little bit. Who wrote the symphonies named after these cities?
Ooh.
Who wrote the symphonies named after these cities?
Are you about to give us a list?
Yes, I am.
How many are on the list?
Five.
Okay.
Number one, San Francisco. And there are two answers to that.
Yeah.
Number two, Pittsburgh. Number three, Cambridge. Number four, Oxford. Number five, Los Angeles.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
Where's Stalingrad? Where's Leningrad?
No, I'm not going to throw that. Who wrote the symphonies named after these cities? Classical composer. Number one, San Francisco. There are two answers to that. Number two, Pittsburgh. Number three, Cambridge. Number four, Oxford. Number five, Los Angeles.
Yeah, you've embarrassed me with this once before, I think. I believe San Francisco is Roy Harris.
Yes.
I know that because I learned it on the air
from
you.
It's Symphony Number 8 by Roy Harris.
Yeah.
Any guess with who the other one is?
Well, no, because Ligeti wrote a piece called San Francisco Polyphony, but that's not what you're looking at. I don't know.
I think it's an American composer. I'm not absolutely sure. Okay. I don't know much about this person. But,
all right.
But
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
I think there's an Oxford Symphony by Haydn.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And
all right. Those are your two
guesses. That's good because I'm tapped out.
All right. So we're still looking for Pittsburgh, Cambridge, and Los Angeles. Who wrote symphonies titled after those cities? And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134, or toll-free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Max in Menlo Park.
Hi, Max.
The MT word is dreamt.
Yes. Give the man a bell.
Thank you.
Very good.
And I have a couple of bones to pick with Jerry. When you say you're looking for maximum BA degrees,
yeah.
How about that? Do you mean bachelor's? How about
bachelor's BS? Or above?
Yeah, I mean I have a BS degree, so I don't want to discount those.
That would count. Sure.
Okay. So how about Massachusetts?
That's it.
Oh,
very good. 40%.
Wow.
Okay. One more thing. A couple of weeks ago, Jerry asked, "What's the strongest fiber?" And the answer he gave was Kevlar. I don't think that's right. PBO, also known as Zylon, is stronger than Kevlar.
Well, maybe that came along after Kevlar. I don't know this. I don't know how old my answer.
Zylon. I thought that was Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
No, you're thinking of unobtainium.
One was just discovered because it probably came along after Kevlar.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm sure it did, but yeah. But that's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. Someone took my dreams, so I'm going to try to answer the symphony question.
Okay.
Is it Los Angeles by John Adams?
No, unless... Not. That's not what I have. So, anyway...
Okay, thanks anyway.
Thank you, appreciate it. And Jerry does something quick.
What
short.
Cities? What city surveyor named many San Francisco streets, including one after himself?
City surveyor.
Van Ness.
No. No.
Is it a major street, Jerry?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. No, no idea.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Anybody there?
Oh, hi.
Hi, you're on.
I apologize. Two possible answers. One for the element is berkelium.
Berkelium is named after Berkeley, but I'm looking for elements that are named after world capitals.
Oh,
Berkeley is only the capital in its own mind.
Okay. On the Oscar titles, with punctuation, to Sir with Love.
Did not win Best Picture.
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
Is that it?
Yep. That's
okay. All. Well, thank you. Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, my name is Connie. I'm calling from Berkeley.
Hi.
Hi. I'm not sure if there's a punctuation work. Think about a movie called Ben-Hur.
Ben-Hur has a hyphen in it.
Oh,
well
good
done.
Good job.
Yes.
Very good, very good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's great, yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes, hello?
Hi, you're on.
Yeah, hi, this is Joe. Campaign slogan.
Yes.
Felt like the whole world depended on it.
Right.
Was that Nixon?
It was Nixon. Nixon in 68.
Wow.
There you go. Appealing to the silent majority there.
And then the second one about vote the farm or something.
Vote yourself a farm.
I think that was, I'm going to go on a limb here, Lincoln?
It was Lincoln. Lincoln in 1860. Yes.
Good.
Nothing about the Civil War.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Good job. So we still have Vote As You Shot and Let Well Enough Alone, the two presidential campaign slogans. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. It's Sparky Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
Okay. I don't have to recuse myself from that. Thanks. Let Well Enough Alone. How about Hoover?
No.
Okay, chemical element named after world capital.
Mm-hmm.
Holmium.
Yes, after?
Stockholm.
Right, well done. Mm-hmm.
Are all of the capital cities out?
Yes.
Okay. I was going to say Ho Chi Minh City, then I realized it was Hanoi.
I was thinking that, too.
Okay, we're done.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Michael from El Cerrito.
Hi, Michael.
Ho Chi Minh City didn't make a list.
No, sorry.
Okay, how about for Vote As You Shot? Would that be Grant?
It would be. Grant in 1868. Very good. Good job.
Now, this rotographer, I know it's the what the previous caller said it was. Is it a kind of a primitive newsreel or something like that? The way
it's a photographic process.
Is it the way it's used in the song? Is it a primitive newsreel?
No. It referred to a Sunday supplement section
in the newspaper.
They were called the roto. This is the rotogravure.
Right.
It'd be yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's see. That's all I have.
All right. Thanks a lot. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Chemical element after cities. Hafnium after Copenhagen.
Exactly.
Oh.
Holmium after Stockholm.
Right. And
lutetium after Paris.
Exactly. See, I knew there was one.
Yeah.
Okay. One very quick question. What is the origin of the word Easter? You know, beautiful holiday we have today.
It's named after the goddess Astarte.
Astarte, who was she?
She was the goddess of bad movies starring Dustin Hoffman.
No, she was the goddess of fertility, eggs, and rabbits. Beautiful. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Ian. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert and Karen in Bernalheim.
Hi.
And the surveyor who named many San Francisco streets and is responsible for the fact that you can't drive in any rational fashion around San Francisco was Jasper O'Farrell.
Correct.
Ah, okay.
Very good.
He decided that diagonal streets crossing non-diagonal streets was a good idea. And that streets that went straight up undrivable hillsides was a good idea.
Yeah. All right.
Very good.
Good night, guys.
Thanks. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Stan from Lower Knob Hill.
Hi, Stan.
I have one question. Aquatic Park and Union Square have something physically in common. What is it?
Aquatic Park and Union Square have something physically in common. You mean in the design of it?
No, not in the design.
Not in the design.
It's an actual something physical.
Aquatic Park.
Aside from being in San Francisco, both.
Right. Something physical. I'm trying to think. I don't know where to begin on this. No, we don't know, I'm afraid.
Okay. Well, I'll give you the answer.
Okay.
I'll give you a clue. What's under Union Square?
A parking garage.
That's right. And what has to happen when you build a parking garage?
You dig a big hole.
That's right. So what's that aquatic park?
Is that a big hole that was filled in with water?
Yeah, actually, there wasn't much of a beach there. The sand from Union Square is that aquatic park.
Ah, okay.
Oh, interesting.
Good job. Yes.
I thought you guys would know the San Francisco question.
Okay, oh, well. Thanks. Yes. Constance serves a disappointment to
Leah
would
callers. Do that.
She probably would, yeah. All right, time to clean up here. What do we got?
Oh, okay. The movie that Gene Kelly and his brother...
Oh, wait a minute. Deep in My Heart.
Yeah, Deep
they sing,
in My Heart.
I like
yeah.
to go swimming with women.
It's a great song.
That's the song.
They're easily the best thing in a movie.
Yeah, they are good.
That's all I have.
All right. Josh.
Movies with things in their titles other than letters and spaces. All the King's Men. Mm-hmm. With a hyphen, or the apostrophe, rather.
Right.
The King's Speech also has an apostrophe. Lord of the Rings, : Return of the King. And most recent addition to the list, 12 Years a Slave.
Okay.
12 not spelled out.
Good job. The presidential campaign slogan, Let Well Enough Alone. That's McKinley in 1900. And who wrote these symphonies named after these cities? San Francisco is Josh Gott, Roy Harris, and a fellow named Wilson. I didn't write down his first name. Number two, Pittsburgh, it's Paul Hindemith.
Huh.
Number three, Cambridge, Hubert Parry. Oxford is Haydn. And Los Angeles is Arvo Part. I'm sorry, how do you pronounce that?
I don't.
Okay. All right. Parrot? Okay. Oh, really? Okay. Parrot. If we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight was Jerry Nachman, well-known burial author from the San Francisco Chronicle, Josh Cosman. Thank you very much, Josh.
I've been your
moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to David LaTulipe. We're going to leave you with a little bit of Judy Garland singing Easter Parade, and have a great Easter rest of this holiday, everybody. Have a great holiday, as I said, and join us next Sunday. Bye-bye.
Never saw you dress quite so handsome, what's more. I could hardly wait to keep our days this lovely Easter morning. And my heart beat fast as I came through the door. For in your Easter bonnet, with all the frills upon it, in the Easter parade, I'll be all in clover, and when they look us over, we'll be the proudest couple in the Easter.